On today's edition of the College Football Power Hour, it is a full national championship preview pod. Where is the advantage on both of these sidelines, and how does Notre Dame score exactly in this game? All that plus so much more. We'll talk to y'all soon. Welcome in to the College Football Power Hour on a national championship preview edition of the pod. We're kind of entering that time of year where it's like, I'm so excited for the national championship game, Ohio State, Notre Dame, but also a national championship means that we have months and months of no college football. But I guess, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened, and smile because, you know, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt and that was funny and it was just, you know, a blast of a season. But the national championship is set, Ohio State and Notre Dame. That's Jason Fitz. He's Adam Brenneman. I am Caroline Fenton. Let's start it off there. Adam, open it up with you. Early thoughts on this matchup in the national championship game.
Yeah, all the talk right now is around Ohio State. It just feels like that to me. Everyone's excited about the Buckeyes. I sure hope Ohio State fans and the college football world aren't crowning this team too soon, because it feels like everyone thinks Ohio State's going to win big. I mean, spread, we talked about it last show, guys. I mean, what is it, -9, -8.5 for Ohio State right now? Here's the thing. Something's going to have to give. Both these teams covered all three of their playoff games against the spread easily. The line's adjusted to, you know, closer to Notre Dame now, but at Ohio State, -8, -8.5. I got to watch Notre Dame in person at the Orange Bowl when they played Penn State on field level, and saw these guys up close and personal and saw how Marcus Freeman was interacting with them. You can feel their level of connectivity. You can feel how much their program cares about each other. And the only way Notre Dame wins this game, in my opinion, is if that's on full display, if they play for their teammates, if they tackle extremely well and they don't turn the football over. But it just feels to me, it's interesting, Fitz, that so much of the national narrative right now seems to be about Ohio State and how good this Ohio State team is, how electric they are on offense, how good their defense and defensive line are. I don't feel like I'm hearing a whole lot about Notre Dame, and I think everyone's kind of written it off as an Ohio State win, and that's certainly what the books are telling us right now, too.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by a lot of that, Adam, and this is where it's really hard, like, because I think sometimes we want to step back and stack the bricks and be like, okay, how can I make a Lego castle that has a Notre Dame win out of this? You know what I mean? So, like, what is the path to that success? And man, it's a hell of a lot easier to build that castle for an Ohio State win than it is for a Notre Dame win. And to your point, I think part of this, look, Marcus Freeman wouldn't have it any other way. Nobody's paying attention to him. You know that they're using that for fodder. They're all coming in together and saying, hey, we're under the radar. Nobody expects anything from us. That's fine. The hard part about this is just that Ohio State's offense has looked so good in so many ways during the course of the college football playoff. It's hard to see that same level of success at some point from Notre Dame offensively, even though I believe Notre Dame's defense is a better matchup for Ohio State's offense than a lot of people do. I'm struggling to find the points. And like, you got to score points to win. So the hard part about this is that I'm struggling to find the easy way that Notre Dame can get a couple of drives and get a couple of big touchdowns here. And that's easy to find for Ohio State. So I think part of this, Caroline, is just like, I know we hate this for the committee, but the eye test has just effortless is the best way to describe what Ohio State has done week in and week out. And that's the opposite of what Notre Dame has done. I credit all their wins. Like, it's been awesome to watch them kick ass, but it truly has been a fight for Notre Dame, and it has not felt like a fight for Ohio State.
And I think that we have to give credit to Notre Dame for that, that in so many games that they've played in the regular season since that loss to Northern Illinois, and then in three games in the college football playoff, even though I'll throw Indiana out because that was a pretty convincing win. But in the two games since, against Georgia and then against Penn State, yes, it's been close. It's been a smaller margin of victory, or it's been a difference of a handful of plays. But Notre Dame has found a way to win. And that is credit to the coaching staff. That is credit to this team for so many chances or so many opportunities throughout the season when they could have thrown in the towel or they could have kind of succumbed to being the underdog. They've embraced that underdog role. They've embraced all of the challenges that have come their way. And it really is a hat tip to Marcus Freeman for that and that entire team. But whenever I am previewing games, whenever I'm taking notes and prepping throughout the week, I always try to come up with a few questions, like the first things that stick out to me in my mind. The first few questions that I wrote down for the national championship all had to do with how can Notre Dame do this? Like, how could Notre Dame protect Riley Leonard? They're going to be without Anthony Knapp. Their left tackle has started every single game so far this season. Charles Jagasaw, who was originally supposed to be the starting left tackle, who's kind of supposed to be like Joe Alt 2.0, who's the fifth overall pick in the NFL draft this past year. He comes back after getting injured in camp, so he'll likely step into that left tackle role. But Rocco Spindler, who's been the right guard for a majority of the season, he's questionable. So you now have to plug in that role if, in fact, Rocco Spindler isn't able to go. Having that shakeup on the offensive line in the national championship game for a team that really needs to run the football to find offensive success against one of the best defensive lines, if not the best defensive line in all of college football, that feels like a recipe for disaster for Notre Dame. So that's one question I had. The second question I had was, Fitz, exactly what you just brought up. How does Notre Dame score? Like, how does Notre Dame score on this Ohio State offense? And I think it's a fair question to bring up. How does Ohio State score against this Notre Dame offense who's been winning kind of, you know, slug it out, low scoring kind of games? But we've seen that Ohio State can take the run away, even from some of the best rushing offenses in all of college football. I mean, they really limited what Texas did in the Cotton Bowl. You know, do you trust Riley Leonard to be able to win this game with his arm? I don't know if I necessarily do. So let's break it down. Let's go position by position, you know, team by team. Which quarterback do we trust more? Do we trust Riley Leonard or do we trust Will Howard more?
I trust Will Howard more than Riley Leonard, and especially if to win the game with your arm is Will Howard, no question to me.
Yes, I agree with that. There is still a part of me that remembers Will Howard forcing some balls and making some mistakes, right? Riley hasn't done that much this year. Like, you need one play on third and four. I need one play to be executed by the quarterback. I have a lot of trust for Riley Leonard. I don't think Riley Leonard can win this game with his arm, but I trust Riley Leonard not to make key mistakes in this football game. So, like, I agree with you. I trust Will Howard much more, but that has as much to do with the fact that Will Howard, especially through the course of the college football playoff, has done a nice job of playing patient football. He's done a nice job of figuring out pre-snap what he wants to do with the football. Like, he's done a really good job of all of that. Riley Leonard, though, has done a good job of making chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what over and over and over again on third and six, where you're like, there's nothing there, and all of a sudden, he's acrobatically finding something.
And one of the really interesting things about Riley Leonard and Ohio State's defense in this game and that matchup is Riley Leonard has been really, really good against the blitz this year. He's been really at his best when things are broken down a little bit. He's been, you know, I was looking at the PFF grades, one of the best quarterbacks in the country when he's blitzed. But when he's not blitzed and he's just standing back there and his offensive line has to protect when they're rushing only four guys and the defense plays coverage, he's really bad. I mean, like, bottom 100th ranked quarterback in the country against no blitz, standing in the pocket against no pressure. Ohio State doesn't blitz that much. Jim Knowles isn't a big pressure guy, but their defensive line with Jack Sawyer and JTT, they get to the quarterback so well. And Caroline mentioned the injuries at offensive line for Notre Dame. That's really, to me, the key matchup. Like, Riley Leonard is best when there's blitz, when he can take a one-on-one matchup, when the defense isn't playing coverage and coming after him because he can create with his legs, then he has receivers who get open. When he's standing back there like a lame duck with a defense dropping seven, four guys rushing, and his offensive line can't protect him, that's when Riley Leonard starts to get shaky. That's not the style of play he wants to be in. So given that that's how Ohio State's going to play and they're not going to blitz them that much, I think that gives a major advantage to Ohio State's defense, especially against the Notre Dame offensive line that's banged up. So I have a hard time seeing how Riley Leonard plays the style of play in this game that he really wants to be in and how he really wants to play.
I think if you ask me just in a vacuum, just to take this game away from it, if you ask me which quarterback do you trust more, I would say Riley Leonard because of what he can bring with his legs. That it's not like Will Howard is just like a sitting duck, but Will Howard can't make the same kind of plays with his legs that Riley Leonard can. But this game isn't played in a vacuum. We don't just pick quarterbacks just for fun or in a vacuum. I think I have to trust Will Howard more in this matchup because of the offensive line situation for Notre Dame and also the pass catching. The difference in talent in pass catchers on both of these sidelines. Like Jordan Faison and Bo Collins and that entire wide receiving core for Notre Dame. It's good. It's not Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Egbuka, and Carnell Tate. Like, we saw in the Cotton Bowl against Texas, like, Jeremiah Smith got basically completely shut down. One catch for 3 yards, and when Will Howard tried to force it to him, it got intercepted. So you can go to Carnell Tate, Emeka Egbuka, and the running backs in the passing game. Notre Dame doesn't have that same kind of depth of talent. When you take one playmaker away from Ohio State, that's fine. You got a laundry list of playmakers that can beat you in several different ways. Notre Dame doesn't have that. So in the context of this game, I have to trust Will Howard more. I think we would all agree unanimously that we're comparing wide receivers. We give the edge to Ohio State. What about run game?
Yeah, the edge clearly goes to Ohio State in this run game. Like, if we're talking, especially if we're just talking about the running backs, like, if we're talking about the running backs and we're taking Riley Leonard's legs out of this conversation, it's not even close. Even if you put Riley Leonard's legs into this conversation, a couple of things. You've got two of the best backs in the country at Ohio State. Also, they're going to be running against a defensive line that's decimated with injuries, that's gone through their own issues all year long, that I don't think has the depth to rotate the guys in they're going to need to just handle that run over and over and over again for Notre Dame. So, I feel like not only do I trust the running backs for Ohio State more, they're both Sunday guys. I also think that part of that is, frankly, they're going to be taking on guys that there's not the level of depth on the defensive line that Notre Dame wants health-wise to go into this matchup. So definitely, Adam, to me, favors them.
The Ohio State run game is probably the biggest key to the game in this one for me. I mean, you think about Notre Dame's style of play and how they play on defense. They're probably most similar to Michigan, who beat Ohio State 13-10, and Penn State, who held Ohio State to 20 points. Notre Dame's total defensive talent is probably on par or exceeding Michigan and Penn State. So Notre Dame's defense is without a doubt capable of kind of a history books type performance against Ohio State and surprising everyone. And then let's think about the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State was a 75-yard screen pass and a 90-yard defensive touchdown away from only having 14 points in that game. So one of their touchdowns was a defensive one. One of their touchdowns was a fluke end-of-half screen pass. And other than that, they had 14 points, two true touchdowns on drives where they put a drive together and punched in the end zone. I say all this because it's a key to victory, the Ohio State run game, and can they actually be efficient on offense against a defense that's as good as Notre Dame's is. But also, Notre Dame's going to take everything they possibly can from Michigan and Penn State defensively, and it's up to Ohio State to prepare for that. So the biggest factor is this Ohio State run game. You know, against Michigan, Ohio State ran for 80 yards. Against Penn State, in a very, very similar style game, they ran for 180. Against Texas, they ran for around 80 yards again and scored 14 points without those two plays I was talking about. So Ohio State has to find a way to run the football in this game, or their offense won't be very good and very efficient. Notre Dame might very well be the number one team in the country who's going to match up with their receivers, with the Ohio State receivers. Notre Dame's going to have some success taking that pass game away. Ohio State's going to have to run the football to win this game.
Yeah, and to that point, Adam, the one thing I'd say too is Notre Dame's going to have to shut down the run without allocating extra resources to it. Because the minute they start to actually try and do anything, if they're sending extra players into the box to slow the run down, now all of a sudden that secondary that I agree with you is actually a quality matchup against those wide receivers. Boy, you're putting them out on islands against guys I don't want to be out on islands against. So, yeah, I think not only does Ohio State have to run the ball, Notre Dame has to stop the run without allocating a bunch of extra to it.
That's what makes this Ohio State offense so difficult to defend. You can't sell out in any area. You can't sell out in the backfield. You can't sell out to defend and to double up Jeremiah Smith because that's just going to open up the other receivers. And as soon as you sell out to stop the pass, well, they've got a two-headed monster in Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson that can just ground and pound and beat you in the run game. So I would agree that the advantage here in the run game is Ohio State. I do think it would be closer if we did have a more clear vision of just how close to 100% Jeremiah Love is. But if Jeremiah Love is less than 100%, which he has been ever since the regular season finale against USC, I think it's fair to give the run game advantage to Ohio State. So that is pass catching advantage Ohio State. I think quarterback advantage Ohio State, run game advantage Ohio State. Thoughts, Adam?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that to that point is that Quinshon Judkins is probably, to me, one of the most, you know, key impact players in this game. You know, Kimchon Jonkins is a little bit bigger than Trayvon Henderson, and I think Ohio State's staff is going to want to reward how hard Kimchon Jonkins played against Texas without the football. You know, the thing about that lead block Kimchon Jonkins had on the run to Trayvon Henderson. You know, so the Ohio State getting Trayvon, Kimchon Jonkins going together, and Kimchon Jonkins producing as well as Trayvon Henderson, I think we'll look more, we'll look closer to an 150-yard performance for Ohio State on the ground than, you know, than the 80 yards they had against Texas. And on top of that, I think the Ohio State tight end, G. Scott, I mean, Ohio State found a way to get him involved against Texas. And then, you know, I bet Ohio State is going to take some of the tricks that Penn State used to get Tyler Warren involved in the game. In the Orange Bowl. So Ohio State will see some of that on film. Ohio State has three NFL wide receivers on the field along with G. Scott. G. Scott's played well in the playoffs so far. So the fact that there's going to be so much focus on those receivers, I think he'll have a big day as well. And running the football well will open up plays for their tight end.
Before we paint a completely bleak picture, though, the one thing I would say, and Adam, you can speak to this far more than I can, when you are, especially when you are maybe not matched up the way you want to be, one way you can get out of that is by disguising what you're doing on the defensive side of the ball really well, which, yeah, by the way, is something that Marcus Freeman and this Notre Dame defense does incredibly well. Like I mentioned earlier, pre-snap, I think Will Howard's done a really good job of figuring out, hey, here's what, like, Texas was playing that back shell defense, right? So it's like, hey, I understand where they're going to be. I understand where I can go from the football. From the time he snapped it, he seemed to have a really good understanding of where his outlet would be. I don't know that you have that same advantage against Notre Dame, right? Like, Notre Dame does a really good job of standing at the line of scrimmage all the way up to the last second, and then boom, they're in something. So can they confuse Will Howard? Can they confuse the coaches? How often do we see this? You know, you got the college quarterback looking at the college sideline and they're telling them what to audible to. Like, all of that's a lot more difficult against Notre Dame. So maybe schematically the coaching can provide a bit of an advantage for Notre Dame, Adam, in a way that sort of masks some of those deficiencies.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Fitz. And whenever you have a deficiency, the first thing you try to do is confuse the other side, right? Don't let them play their style of play. I think on top of that, the interesting thing is Notre Dame plays so much man coverage. I mean, number one in the nation in cover one, which is one high safety, man-to-man. You know, Herm Edwards used to call it cat coverage. You know, your cat has that cat. Cover your cat. That's all you got to do. That's what Notre Dame plays. And Ohio State sees so few teams play them man coverage. Why? Because they have the most talented receiver core in the country. But at this point, Notre Dame's not changing what they do, right? They're going to play man coverage. They're going to play man-to-man and man up with Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Ibuka and Carnell Tate and say, go beat us, right? Like, go beat our defensive backs and our corners and rely on that pass rush. And when you play cover one, you're able to bring pressure and you're able to confuse the offense with some of those looks up front because you have enough bodies that you can bring an extra guy. So I think that part of it and how they try to confuse Will Howard will be key. And it's going to be then on Chip Kelly and Ryan Day to put Will Howard in situations where he can see what's happening pre-snap, where there's a clear picture. Help your quarterback out by clearing up the picture pre-snap so they can see what Notre Dame's trying to do. Because from a talent alone standpoint, I don't know if I think Notre Dame can hold up in that cover one coverage that they're going to play. I think more so it's going to be, can they play cover one but confuse Will Howard the snap where he doesn't have time or he doesn't make the right read because he doesn't know what's truly going on at the snap.
And I know that we're painting a picture that just shows a unanimous Ohio State win. I know that we are pointing out several areas where Ohio State has an advantage. I think it's fair to say Ohio State has an advantage in most, if not every single area of this game. But if there is a path to victory, and there is a path to victory for Notre Dame, I think that's one of the key points here. Confusing Will Howard and forcing him to make decisions that he is going to regret. Forcing turnovers. That has been how Notre Dame has won a lot of big games this season. It's how they've excelled. It's been like the turning point, the momentum factory, if you will, for Notre Dame in the college football playoff. You know, they picked off Curtis Rourke on the first drive of that Indiana game, and then it was a 98-yard Jeremiah Love touchdown to get Notre Dame on the board, and it felt like the momentum was in Notre Dame's corner for the entirety of that game. Against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, it was a strip sack within the 30 right before half. That was Notre Dame's only offensive touchdown of the day, was after stripping Gunnar Stockton. So they go into halftime with all the momentum. They come out of halftime with a kickoff return, and that was really all she wrote. And then against Penn State, that's really what put that game on ice. It didn't matter that Riley Leonard threw two interceptions. It didn't matter that Notre Dame played kind of a sloppy game with a lot of penalties. It was a Drew Aller interception in the final 2 minutes of the game to, you know, get Notre Dame into field goal territory and to put that game on ice. Notre Dame has built momentum and won games because of forcing turnovers. And no, they're not going to outman the receivers that Ohio State has. And no, I don't think that they're going to be able to consistently out-physical Ohio State at the lines of scrimmage. But Will Howard, and I think Riley Leonard both, the quarterbacks are some of the biggest X factors here of which quarterback makes more mistakes. Notre Dame's defense has shown that they can force quarterbacks into making mistakes.
Yeah, and on top of that, the biggest key to me for Notre Dame's defense is they have to continue to be elite tacklers in space. Notre Dame's secondary has been really good throughout the year at getting ball carriers and receivers on the ground. That proved to be the biggest difference against Penn State. Penn State couldn't find any explosive plays, but it wasn't because Penn State wasn't completing passes. It was because Notre Dame's defensive backs, their secondary, their outside linebackers were running to the football and tackling in space. Penn State could get no broken tackles. So if Notre Dame can't do that against Ohio State, it'll be a bloodbath. That's the game right there. If they can't get Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Abuka, Cardinal Tate, Trayvon Henderson, and Quinshon Judkins to the ground, then Notre Dame's going to lose the game. But if Notre Dame can tackle, force Ohio State to go on long drives, try to stop that run game just like Michigan and Penn State had some success doing in their games against them, I think that's the path for Notre Dame right there. Give up that kind of, I hate the term, but bend but don't break defense. Give up some of those tackles. You can't let Jeremiah Smith break one for 80 yards on you, and you can't let Cardinal Tate break one for 65, or it's going to be a long day.
Well, I'm not stupid enough to think that they've faced anything like what they're about to face offensively from Ohio State. I do think this is where the Indiana matchup helps them a little bit too. They faced an inordinate amount of speed in Indiana, yeah, and they handled that really well, right? So there is some level of, you know, they've had to face a couple of very different types of offenses, but they handled, again, I think Indiana was outmatched in a lot of ways, but they handled the speed of the wide receiver position particularly well. So I do think that that gives them a little bit of a proof of concept that they can handle the speed that Ohio State's going to give them. It's just, you're right, Adam, like, it feels in this, because of the way Notre Dame's offense is built and because of what I think are going to be restrictions for them offensively, one of those 75-yard touchdown passes has a lot more impact in this game than it does in some other games that we would see.
And I think a big factor of that for Notre Dame, at least offensively, if there's a path to victory for Ohio State, I think that involves a receiver stepping up and making a big play. Like we saw with Jaden Greathouse against Penn State. You're going to have to see that, at least whether it's one big explosive play or a handful of explosive plays. You need one of those young receivers to make a Jeremiah Smith type of play. They're not going to be Jeremiah Smith, but can they make some of those explosives? I think another aspect of it, too, for Notre Dame offensively is getting the running backs involved in the passing game. That was huge for Notre Dame against Penn State. The big, what was it, 36-yard pickup from Aeneas Williams in that first drive out of half that really kind of sparked a fire under Notre Dame against Penn State. And that was something that gave Ohio State's defense trouble against Texas. I mean, Jaden Blue had two receiving touchdowns. It's a running back. Trey Wisner also got a decent bit of work in the passing game as well. Those two combined for 11 catches for over 100 yards against Ohio State. If you're not going to get it from your receivers, which maybe Notre Dame will and maybe they won't, at least consistently, but if Notre Dame can get their running backs involved, not just in the ground game, but in the passing game as well, I start to see to piece those pieces together for this puzzle pieces together for Notre Dame to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame's run game is the key for them as well. Notre Dame's offense has been built on really the explosive run. And you think about some of the tough run defenses Notre Dame has played this season. I mean, Texas A&M and Louisville. Indiana's run defense was the best in the country for a while. Georgia, Penn State, I mean, some of these really, really good run defenses. Notre Dame has been able to win those games and establish the run a little bit. But this is definitely their toughest test yet against Ohio State. Think about Ohio State's defense is the way they're structured is they funnel every run into the inside of their defense. You know, they'll play with those overhang safeties, have an outside linebacker outside the box, and they'll say, they got to keep, they're keeping the run game inside the tackles so that they can ride on the football and let their defensive line go to work. For Notre Dame, it's what you just said, Caroline. Got to get the ball on the perimeter to their backs, to their receivers, the quick screen game, the jet sweep game. Don't try to run the ball inside. Like, get it on the perimeter. Find ways to get Jeremiah Love creative touches. You know, the more creative touches Love can get, the better, because they're going to struggle. You can't play Ohio State's game. Ohio State wants you to run the ball between the tackles and then funnel everything in there, let their linebackers make tackles, let their defensive line play elite football like they have been. So Notre Dame's going to have to get the ball on the perimeter to be able to, you know, sustain a run game against Ohio State that has that talented of a front seven.
I will say this too, though. I just looked it up. All right. So if you look at the three playoff games, 42 rushes for Notre Dame in the last one, 37 against Georgia, 35 against Indiana. I only say that because that's a lot of runs, right? In order to run the football that effectively, one thing that Notre Dame is going to have to do in this game is survive the first 15 minutes. And it all go back to what every game so far, we've seen Ohio State explode out of the gates. In the one game they didn't, the last game, they really did. It was just dumb penalties on two consecutive drives. I went back and rewatched it. I felt like Ohio State should have been up 21-0 in that game. There is this element of almost like surviving a Mike Tyson fight back in his heyday. Like, you have to survive the first quarter against Ohio State in a way that you're not down to a spot where it changes your game plan. I think it's going to be a huge part of just how do you sustain? Because if you go down 21-0 with this offense the way it's built, now you can't run the football the way you want. Now you're out of your game plan, and now all of a sudden you're doing what you're not great at. So I think there's a real key here for Notre Dame of surviving the first quarter. If they survive the first quarter and this is a 7-7 game or a 7-point game after one, the entire way I'll feel about the remaining three quarters is vastly different.
And I think you bring up a very fair point, Fitz, because we've been laying out, okay, what does Notre Dame have to do to beat Ohio State, under the assumption of if Ohio State just continues to do what they've been doing, they should be the national champions on Monday night. But I want to take a quick break and get into maybe a fair cause for concern for Ohio State, something that we may have seen in the Cotton Bowl. So we'll do that coming up next. Look, Texas stepped into a buzzsaw against Ohio State. And if you fell asleep on Friday night and you woke up on Saturday morning, just checked the score of the Cotton Bowl, you may have looked at the final score of 28-14 and said, ah, Ohio State continued to roll. Ohio State just continues to, you know, blow out opponents in the college football playoff. But that's not really how it went. This was a ball game up until the final two and a half minutes, up until Quinn Ewers got sacked and Jack Sawyer picked it up and returned it for a touchdown. This was a one-score game, and Texas was just inches away from tying that game up in the final minutes of the game. One of the reasons why this game was so much closer than maybe we all anticipated toward the end of the game, or maybe Vegas anticipated, one, Texas just played a good game. Texas's defense did what they do best, and they made life difficult. They made every yard difficult for Ohio State to get. But another reason was because Ohio State just played sloppy. Ohio State had 9 penalties for 75 yards. They had several drive-killing penalties. Like in the second possession of the game, Travion Henderson gets an unsportsmanlike conduct, and they get backed up to 2nd and 24. And then the next possession, a hold backs them up to 2nd and 20. And then in the next possession, a hold backs them up to 2nd and 20, and a false start backs them up to 3rd and 18. Several of those drives, Ohio State was moving the ball well, but penalties, they just continued to shoot themselves in the foot. Adam, is that reason for concern here? Is that another path to victory for Notre Dame? Is if Ohio State continues to commit some of these avoidable penalties?
Yeah, I mean, I said at the top of the show that Notre Dame's path to victory is playing together, not making mistakes, tackling well, and not turning the football over. That is the path for how Notre Dame wins, because of those mistakes that Ohio State makes. So if you let Ohio State make some of those mistakes, Notre Dame can really take advantage of it, especially with the style of how Notre Dame plays and how they play mistake-free. And Riley Leonard just can't turn the football over. But if Ohio State's going to make those mistakes, that is the path for how Notre Dame wins. And if I'm Ryan Day, if I'm Chip Kelly, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about that, because you can't have mistakes like that against a team like Notre Dame. They will make you pay. They will hold the football for 7 minutes to end the game. They won't listen. They're not. Riley Leonard is going to, in those moments, you know, not make the mistakes that that we saw some of the guys, some of the Texas players make, and, you know, the turnovers and the 75-yard touchdown, things like that. Notre Dame's defense isn't giving up that touchdown before the break. I'm convinced of that. So those mistakes are definitely cause for concern for Ryan Day. And I bet everything they're doing in practice this week is to clean up those mistakes. I mean, I bet they're watching them. I bet they're looking at the Trayvon Henderson penalty. I bet they're making the whole team talk about it. I bet they're, you know, repping it in on the field and talking about those little mistakes that, you know, are penalties or, you know, mistakes or drops or turnovers that they've had throughout the postseason that you can't have against a team like Notre Dame, especially in a game like the national championship.
But I think, guys, we might have this narrative flipped a little bit, all right, because I agree with you. But if you go back before the last playoff game, the first couple of playoff games for Ohio State, they had 5 total penalties, total, in their first 2 playoff games, okay? Let's look back at Notre Dame. They had 4 in the last one. They had 10 against Georgia. They had 6 against Indiana. It's actually Notre Dame, contrary to popular belief, that is committing more drive-killing penalties than Ohio State is at this point. So I think both teams are going to have to figure out a way to play within themselves. And particularly when we started this whole thing talking about an offensive line for Notre Dame that's dealing with some lineup changes and a defensive line for Ohio State that can get after the quarterback. This just screams 2 or 3 holding penalties that are just sack savers, right? Like, I got beat. I got no choice. I'm going to tackle the guy. Like, I think context here tells me that I'm more worried about penalties for Notre Dame in this game, weirdly, than I am for Ohio State. Even though Ohio State had a drive-killing, penalty-filled game in their last one throughout the course of the playoffs, Notre Dame has also been fairly careless at times.
It's fair. And it really showed up against Georgia, especially in the first half before Notre Dame really started. It was especially in the first quarter and some change before Notre Dame had the field goal and then the strip sack and the touchdown and then the kickoff return for the touchdown. That really just kind of ended the game there. It never really felt like Georgia's offense was in a position to overcome that deficit in the second half. But that was something that Marcus Freeman talked about with the sideline reporter. I can't remember who was the sideline reporter in that game, but he was talking about the penalties, the dumb penalties, the avoidable penalties, like the mental mistakes that they were making. Those are going to show up whenever you're playing a really good and really talented and really physical football team like they faced in Georgia. But Adam, I beg to argue that Ohio State is more tough and more physical and a more talented football team than what they saw against Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio State's the best team, most talented roster in the country, I should say. You know, best team.
And they're playing like the best team in the country right now.
And they're playing like it right now. Exactly. Yeah, they're playing like it right now. I mean, I think, too, from a penalty standpoint, you think about the Notre Dame-Penn State game. Notre Dame had, 3 or 4 penalties in that game, but, you know, for the most part, were clean, you know, didn't have those drive-killing penalties like Ohio State had. But yeah, I mean, I think in these kind of games, the margin of error is so small that whoever usually has the least amount of mistakes is going to win the game. I think the other factor that we haven't quite hit on yet, and Caroline, you mentioned a little bit Notre Dame, I think the health of both these offensive line units is such a huge factor in this one. Both units have had to go through a ton of shuffling, including the Orange Bowl for Notre Dame, like you mentioned, Caroline. Ohio State throughout the season, there was a noticeable difference when both these teams had to change their offensive lines. Both teams have an elite pass rush. So, you know, good luck with your reserve offensive lineman blocking JTT and Jack Sawyer. You know, if one guy goes down inside or outside, you know, good luck blocking the Notre Dame defensive lineman. I mean, there's a lot of this will come down to whose offensive line stays healthy, which offensive line can play together. And if I'm a betting man right now, I'm taking Ohio State's, even despite the narrative throughout the season has been Ohio State's offensive line is bad. They have finally now figured it out and started to click. So I think that's a big factor as well.
I'll say this too, guys. When you talk about the mistakes and the injuries and all these things, ask ourselves this honest question. If one team gets in a hole, whether it's a hole in a drive, they're behind on down and distance, or whether it's a hole in the game. If one team is in suddenly a situation where they're facing 1st and 15, 2nd and 20, which of these two teams is actually built to be able to get out of that hole? The answer is pretty easy. Like, that's why, again, I keep saying I want a compelling, amazing, awesome national championship game. And I think the story of Notre Dame winning would be absolutely wild. It'd be incredible. I would love every ounce of that. I look at it, I'm like, okay, if things start to go wrong, I sure trust those wide receivers and that offense on the Ohio State side to dig them out of a hole way more than I trust Riley Leonard to be able to do that with Notre Dame's offense. Like, it just feels like everything has to break exactly right for Notre Dame to win this game.
And that's kind of what we said before the Cotton Bowl, was Texas was going to have to play a perfect game to beat Ohio State. And really, for the better part of three quarters, they kind of did until they didn't. And that ultimately was the nail in their coffin, that when you make a mistake, Ohio State's going to make you pay. It's like what Jack Sawyer says, you give us an inch, we'll defend it. I believe that. But another point about JTT, you mentioned it, one of the best pass rushers in America. So he left that Texas game with a high ankle sprain. He came back and actually played pretty effectively at the end of the game. But when the adrenaline and a little bit of the Dr. Toradol wears off the next day, it might feel a little bit different. So I think that's another aspect to this game that is at least worth monitoring and at least following, is if JTT is not 100%, if he's not able to go, one, which we haven't heard an update from Ryan Day, at least on Tuesday, the time we're recording this podcast. If he's not good to go, if he's not 100%, that could be a massive factor for Ohio State's defense as well. We're talking
about
this game.
We ain't going to hear an update. Like, they're going to, it's going to be one of those like game time decisions. Yeah, that's going to be like James Bond secret level.
Very similar to how Abdul Carter was a game time decision, quote unquote, for Penn State against Notre Dame. We won't hear about JTT. Are we ready to pick this thing? I mean,
it's going to be a Lane Kiffin kind of injury report where the entire roster, including the third string long snapper, is on the injury report. But yes, we are ready to pick this game. Ohio State opened as 9.5-point favorites. It's now down to 8.5, even 8.5. It's a little beefy, but fits. Your pick, your official prediction for the national championship game.
Oh, okay. Ohio State starts out fast because that's what they've done every playoff game. And because they start out fast, it limits Notre Dame in this one. I think they get out to a quick 14-0 lead that turns into 14-3. And this whole game just hangs around. Like, our text, our group thread is going to be, man, they can do this. They're only one. And then near the end, it just sort of pulls away. I'll take Ohio State winning 27-17. Like, so 10 points. It feels about right.
It's a cover.
Yeah, it's good. I have Ohio State winning 27-20. I think Notre Dame covers and the game squeaks over barely. I don't think Notre Dame has enough in the tank offensively to find four scores in this game. I just don't see it. I don't see how they get to, you know, the 24 to 30 points that I think Ohio State's going to score. You know, I do think that Notre Dame's going to have some success stopping Ohio State's offense a little bit. I think Ohio State's going to struggle, one, to run the football consistently well at the level they ran it throughout the playoffs so far. And I also think they're going to struggle a little bit to get open consistently against this Notre Dame secondary. So I don't think we're going to see Ohio State just like blow the doors off of Notre Dame. I think the Notre Dame defense will play well, but ultimately Ohio State's going to score four touchdowns or, you know, three touchdowns and two field goals, and Notre Dame won't be able to keep up offensively. But I do think we're going to see, you know, a classic national championship game that's back and forth and comes down to, you know, one of the final few possessions.
I think Ohio State wins it 28-24. I think it's going to be a lot closer than Vegas probably thinks. Right now, obviously, Ohio State 8.5-point favorites. I think Ohio State's going to win. I think it's going to be much closer than 8.5 points. Like, that is a beefy little spread for the national championship game against a Notre Dame team that's playing their best football of the season. I think that Notre Dame is going to be able to cash in on a Will Howard interception, whether that's 3 or whether that's 7. I wouldn't be surprised to see Notre Dame kick a field goal to go up 24-21 in the last few minutes of the game, and then to see Ohio State go on like a miraculous drive in the final few minutes of the game to close it out 28-24. So I'm going to say that Notre Dame covers, but Ohio State wins it.
I like the Will Howard interception prediction. I think I see the formula there. Notre Dame's playing man-to-man, cover one, got the safety roaming middle of the field, get some pressure on Will Howard, and you know, ultimately he makes a mistake that then it's for Notre Dame to make him pay for it. But I like it.
How sad is that for Will Howard? You know, I like that prediction that you're like going to throw just a brutal interception in the national championship that's going
to
make your
team
pay.
We've been very
pay.
Friendly to Will Howard on this show. We've been on the Will Howard hype train.
Criticism goes out where criticism is deserved. But I will say this, and I want your thoughts on this, that I think whoever wins the national championship game, it can go down as one of the most impressive national championship victories in the history of this sport. If Notre Dame wins the national championship, they will have done it without their left tackle, without their right guard, without their best defensive back, without their leading sacker, with their best running back banged up. And they will have done it with Riley Leonard going down for at least a few minutes before half against Penn State in the college football playoff semifinal. Like, Notre Dame will have had to overcome brutal injuries and overcoming one of the worst losses, if not the worst loss in FBS this season. And if Ohio State wins, they will have beaten Tennessee, the only unbeaten team and number one overall seed Oregon, not just beating them, but absolutely obliterating them, Texas, who was in the SEC championship game, and then Notre Dame, one of the best teams in the country. And oh yeah, by the way, throw in the fact that Ohio State beat Penn State in the regular season as well. That is five of the most impressive wins in this sport. So whoever wins it, it's going to go down as the most hard-earned and maybe the most deserved, just given the path that both of these teams have had to go down.
But doesn't that speak to the college football playoff? Like, totally. Think about how our narrative around champions are going to change forever now. Because, like, even if it's a team that we're like, well, why'd they get into the college football playoff? The gauntlet you have to go through to win your way into it, even if your first couple of round games look soft to somebody, you're still going to have to go through two or three of the best teams in the country to get a championship. I think this changes the way we view champions for generations to come.
Yeah, and if Ohio State wins this game, I think Ohio State goes down as one of the greatest college football teams in recent history. From a talent standpoint, you know, all the only blemishes are the loss to Michigan, the loss to Oregon. And I think from a talent standpoint, this roster is one of the best jobs of roster building that we've seen in college football, and definitely in the NIL era. I mean, they've showed how it's done and what the formula looks like. And you mentioned the gauntlet for both of them. Go ahead, Fitz.
How wild will it be, though, for Ohio State fans to be like, one of the greatest college football teams and runs of all time happens to be the Ohio State team that
no doubt
lost to Michigan? Like, I just don't know how they compartmentalize that.
And as Caroline mentioned, like the road to get there of beating Penn State in the regular season and then going Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, Notre Dame. I mean, and also those three games, winning all of them by multiple touchdowns in the playoffs so far. And then for Notre Dame, I mean, the gauntlet they have to go through. Ohio, if they win this, they've beaten Ohio State, they've beaten Penn State, they've beaten Georgia, they've beaten Indiana, who was a top team in the country with a loss to Ohio State at the time. They've beaten Texas A&M, they've beaten Louisville, USC, all of these teams. I mean, just really remarkable how many games these teams have had to win. The consistency of excellence these teams have shown throughout the playoff, I think, is impressive. And both head coaches deserve a ton of credit. We've talked about Marcus Freeman a bunch, but I think Ryan Day, too, for getting his guys to bounce back. I mean, think about how down bad they were when they lost to Michigan. Think about this podcast we came on here and talked about Ryan Day's future and is he going to get fired and how embarrassing it was. And to be sitting here with a chance, as I just said, to become one of the greatest college football teams in recent history.
Now, there are no 2019 LSU. Let's not get that twisted. They are not that.
Never heard of 2019. Was that 2019? Was that a good year for LSU? I don't. What happened there?
I don't know.
It was a year I think of fondly. I don't know. Some Ohio State transfer.
Some guy named.
I just remember him having really good hair. That's all I remember. Good hair and cigars. I don't remember his name.
Cigars.
I don't think he did much in the NFL though.
I think back on it. Yeah. No. He's been like fine. I guess
he's okay.
He's been like. Okay. And like those receivers have been like, fine, whatever. Yeah. Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. I will say, though, if Notre Dame does win the national championship, I cannot wait for the college football imperialism map to come out. And it's just NIU, just Northern Illinois across the entire country. Yeah. I saw a funny tweet. I guess it was like a Northern Illinois like fan account, maybe like a Barstool account. It was like, good luck in the national championship, little bro. Like, we're rooting for you. We're so happy that you got here. And just expert troll job from Northern Illinois. All right, quick break here. Crash out or cash out on the other side. Okay, crash out or cash out. Fitz, Riley Leonard over under 27.5 passing attempts. Against Penn State, he attempted 23.
Yeah, hammer the under on this. The game went out of whack if they get over on 27.5. I don't like that. That number felt egregiously high to me, Adam.
Yeah, the only the only thought possibly is just people thinking that Notre Dame's going to play from behind and be throwing the football late in this game, and he hits 27.5. I mean, I'm going to take the under because I think it'll be a close game. Notre Dame's going to find success running the football. They'll sustain some drives. They're not going to have to force balls, the throws down the field. And I think, too, Notre Dame's going to want to probably avoid being in drop back pass situations against Jack Sawyer and JTT, even with the sprained ankle and the defensive backs that Ohio State has. So I'll hammer the under on 27.5 pass attempts.
I'll take the over.
Wow.
I think Ohio State is one of the best run stopping defenses in all of college football. There's only so much run, 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 punt that you can do in the national championship game before you try something different. So I think just with
run, 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 punt.
We've seen a lot of run, 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 punt this season, especially in the college football playoffs. So I'll take over just because I think Ohio State's going to take the run away, or at least try to take the run away, and that's going to force Notre Dame to, you know, put the ball in Riley Leonard's hands, which I do think is a recipe for disaster for Notre Dame, but I did pick Ohio State to win nonetheless. All right, Will Howard, over under 1.5 passing touchdowns. He had one against Texas.
Yeah, I'm going over. I'm going over 1.5. I see him. You know, I think Ohio State scores 3 or 4 touchdowns in this game, and I think 2 will be passing touchdowns by Will Howard. You know, it's not the safest bet of all time. Like, I'm not like running to the counter to put this one in, but I if I had to pick it, I'd go over, and I think, you know, I think there'll be one to a running back, and I think Jeremiah Smith, who got completely shut out, we'll get to him in a second, against Texas, is going to end up having a big day as well, and he'll break one for a big touchdown.
I'll go back to my game script. I'll take the over because I think we got a couple of quick touchdowns early in this game that you're like, how the hell did that happen? That probably happens to big passes. So I'll take the over on that. I like 2 touchdowns.
I hate when we all agree, but I'll take the over too. I think that in order to beat this Notre Dame team and to beat that Notre Dame defense, Will Howard's going to have to throw at least 2 touchdown passes. And he's got plenty of weapons to pass it around to. So, I'll take over 1.5.
So does that mean we're all taking the over Jeremiah Smith, 80.5 receiving yards, if we're Will Howard?
You can talk me into the under. Well, spread the ball out a little bit.
I'm taking it. There's no shot he's going to have a shutdown 1-catch, 3-yard game again. There's no way.
But
he's
your best player. They're going to find a way to get the ball. 4-catch, 52-yard game. 80.5. That's a large number.
Creativity. Ohio State will find ways to get him the ball, put him in the slot, put him in X receiver. He's going to break a big one in this game. I think that's what's going to open it up and give Ohio State the win. I see Jeremiah Smith, long touchdown. Give me like a 65-yard, kind of like the end of half play Ohio State had. Give me a long Jeremiah Smith screen pass to the house.
Right at the beginning of the game, which comes back to my game script of 14-0. Yeah, so yeah, I'm back on the
air. Did you script this whole game, Fitz?
It's just in my mind. This is what makes sense. You know, I'm visualizing the game, this is how I see it. Good God, I want to punch myself.
He's read the scripts. That.
Well, I am going to be the future commissioner of college football. They have to show me the scripts.
True. You're going to be writing the scripts, so you better get some practice now.
It's a lot of pressure. I'll hire a writing crew.
I might take Jeremiah Smith under 80.5. Like, that's a big number. That's a big, and I think that Ohio State's going to want to spread the love around a little bit. No pun intended.
So many guys to get the ball to. There's so many.
And I think like the Texas game, every yard is going to be hard to come by, except obviously with the Trayvon Henderson 75-yard touchdown run. But that brings us to another Jeremiah. Jeremiah Love, over under 41.5 rushing yards. I'm going to take the over because even in a day where things were kind of quiet against Penn State, he still had 45 yards. They were hard to come by. I mean, I think he ran for like less than 2 yards a carry, but still they're going to consistently give Jeremiah Love the football. I think by this, you know, the sheer touches alone, perhaps he gets, you know, 42 at least.
I mean, if he doesn't get 42, then this game, my game script is flawed. It's a slaughter. So I'll give you the over on it because I need, I feel like I'm taking all overs on this other than Riley Leonard passing. But
I feel the same way. I have a close game here, which means Jeremiah Love needs to have more than 50 rushing yards. So give me over 41.5 all day.
Yeah. I mean, none of us are really picking an absolute slaughtering. So I think to say that Jeremiah Love gets completely shut down in this game is maybe not indicative of a close or closer than Vegas anticipates kind of football game.
I'm interested to see how that line moves throughout the next week or so. I have a feeling that around kick fits, I think that'll be closer to like a minus six than it is minus
six.
Minus six?
Right now. Do you think it's going to drop that much?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a couple in the playoffs drop like 5-6 points throughout the. I mean, think about the Penn State Boise State line. I know that was Boise. That thing moved like 9 points before the game.
Yeah, I think
maybe not nine, but I think it'll be closer to maybe 6 or 7.
You're totally right. There's a trend in gambling so far early in this college football playoff of, you know, when the popular money comes in early on, everybody is so enamored with what they saw in the last round. They're just making sweeping decisions. It drives the market, right? And then as actual real money starts coming in, when is that, you know, the pros and the sharps start coming in at the end, we see a much different tone on this. So, I think it's going to drop. Like, I think it ends like 6.5. Yeah, 6.5, 7.
It is crazy to see how fickle maybe the public has been toward Ohio State, that after they just completely obliterated Oregon, it was like Ohio State by a million, and then Ohio State beats Texas by 14 points, and it's now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, yikes, maybe Ohio State isn't the team we thought they were, because they only beat Texas by 2 touchdowns. But I think that's what you get when you set the standard as high as Ohio State has, at least in the first 2 weeks of the college football playoff. But that's going to do it for us today. Always appreciate y'all for stopping by the podcast. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a review. You can find us on the Yahoo Sports YouTube page. You can also find us on your preferred podcast platform. So tell your friends, tell an enemy, tell Ohio State fans, tell Michigan fans, because I think Michigan, even if Ohio State wins the national championship, Michigan fans will say, yeah, but we beat him. So tell them. He's Jason Fitz. You can find him on Twitter at Jason Fitz. You can find him at AdamBrenneman81 on Twitter. You can find me at CarolineFenton1. We'll be back on Monday night with an immediate national championship reaction. All of our thoughts and all of our immediate reactions to the Natty. We're out.